Carla, could you please read item number 7 on the time certain?
Accept Sport Oregon, formerly Oregon Sports Authority, annual report on national and international sports marketing activities and event recruiting services.
Colleagues, please welcome Jim Etzel, the CEO of the Oregon Sports Authority, formerly known as the Oregon Sports Authority. I totally got that wrong. Let's try that again. Please welcome Jim Etzel, CEO of Sport Oregon, formerly known as the Oregon Sports Authority, to present their annual report to the City Council. This report is a requirement of the City's contract with Sports Oregon to provide sports marketing and event recruiting services. Sport Oregon works tirelessly to attract signature national and international sporting events to our city, providing exciting entertainment options, raising the city's profile, and supporting our local economy. The events they help bring to Portland also generate city revenues through increasing the number of hotel rooms booked by major event attendees and generating user fees for events at the Rose Quarter and Providence Park. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners, for the opportunity to give the report. As stated, I'm Jim Etzel, the CEO of Sport Oregon. My sincere condolences for the loss of our friend and colleague, Nick Fish. I think Nick recognized what sports does for our community in unifying and pulling it together, whether it's at the grassroots, the collegiate or professional high school levels. He really saw the value in that. We so appreciated that. He also was very willing to give constructive criticisms and ideas and thoughts, and we took those to heart over the 26 years of our organization, 11 years that he sat on his council, and we value all of that. So our condolences to you, your staffs, his staff, and family.
Thank you.
Yes. Sport Oregon is two entities, one a nonprofit 501c6 corporation that we do most of our economic and development work in, and also 501c3, and that is our foundation where we focus on working with giving opportunities to underserved youth communities in the city of Portland and across the state to get them physically active and involved in sports. We're supported by 140 corporations and individuals, as well as the City of Portland, Travel Oregon, Travel Portland. We are self-funded by those members, and that provides our operating budget. Over 26 years, we've had $400 million of economic impact measurable in the state and in the city, and that we're very proud of. As you mentioned, we went through a rebrand this year, and moved away from Oregon Sports Authority, as we were not a government entity, and something that's more reflective and action-oriented of what we actually are. Sport Oregon's been very well received, both locally and nationally, and we're excited about that. That work was done by one of our members, Wyden Kennedy, pro bono, so that was gratifying. We're also going to be moving into new offices at 1939 Southwest Morrison on the street level of a low-income, the Morrison Building Housing Project. It was part of the civic development. The space has been vacant 9 of the 12 years the building has been open. We think we're going to be a great new addition to the neighborhood and the street scene across from Providence Park, and be part of the revitalization of the West End. So we're excited. We hope to be moving into those offices by April. It also gives us an opportunity to give space for community events for other nonprofits to host meetings and fundraisers. So it's part of our mission, and that mission is to drive economic and quality of life benefit in our communities through sports. So with no further ado, I'd like to jump into how we deliver value this past year to the city. The reporting period that we report on in this meeting is from July 1, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. First, I'd like to touch on the events. Some of the high-level events, not all the events, because we'd be here quite some time. This past spring, we hosted the NCAA Women's Basketball West Regional in March at the Moda Center. This was the most successful Women's Basketball Western Regional in history, the NCAA. We're proud to be hosting it again this spring. Over 23,000 spectators attended. It was nationally televised on ESPN. Predominantly a local impact of visitors are predominantly from the four schools. But the local citizens, we drive about 1.1 million of economic impact on that event. And obviously, we have local schools in, you know, University of Oregon, Oregon State, and Portland State University that all qualified for the NC2A, kind of reinforcing our position nationally as the mecca of women's sports
success. Can I ask you a question on that? So if you could go back, how do you calculate economic impact? Not at the granular level, but what are you including in economic impact?
Well, we look at the spending, both direct and indirect spending, of the visitors, the teams, the NC2A, the media.
How do you do that? Do you do a random survey of hotels and restaurants, or how do you determine that 23,000 spectators spent something in the neighborhood?
Working with our partners at Travel Portland, there's booking portals that we run all the bookings through, and so we're able to measure those, so we know what the room impacts were. We also know what the user fees that we generate through ticket sales, so those things are the multipliers
that
we use.
So this is direct economic impact then?
So you direct,
take
yes.
into account the, yeah, the we, secondary we want, impacts through exposure on ESPN?
Yes.
Okay.
We want to be very, conservative with our estimates from a credibility standpoint. A lot of sporting events kind of blow the numbers up. We think it's really important to be real so we can really be credible, especially as a nonprofit. We have part of our duty is to serve those that fund us and to be accurate with what our estimates are.
I appreciate that approach.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Little League Softball World Series was at Alpenrose Dairy. 10 teams, one of which is from Oregon, which is very unique as being the host community. Oregon always gets a position in the tournament. They're from around the world. ESPN Television this past year and also in this event in 2018, there was 27 games televised internationally on various ESPN platforms. Economic impact measured by this event was $650,000. I would like to make a note, as we all are aware of the situation out at Alpenrose with the family and the disputes there. And unfortunately, the World Series right now is in limbo, whether it's going to be here in 2020. We are very actively working with Little League Softball World Series in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Also our friends in the community here at Adidas, who are the official supplier for Little League. And we are trying to salvage this event for 2020 and beyond in Portland or the surrounding metro area.
So given that the family dispute is likely to not be resolved quickly,
yes.
Is there any way to at least get forbearance for the next event in 2020?
That's what we're working on, because Little League very much likes being in Portland, Oregon, as does ESPN. We think it's great for our community from an exposure standpoint, but it's really great for the young girls that get to participate from a team from our local community every year. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Are you in negotiations or discussions with the family about potentially having the event and being able to make the commitment for the event this summer?
We're actually working directly with Little League and Adidas, and they have a great relationship with the Cadenaw family.
Okay.
And so their initial announcement was, the initial announcement decision was to not hold it at Alpenrose in deference to the Cadenaws, but I think the sentiment is shifting, so we're working on it.
Okay. And I want to be respectful of their situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to make light of it. I understand it's complicated, but I'm wondering if, just given that those conversations amongst the family members are continuing, if there isn't some opportunity for us to at least have the event there this summer while they continue those important conversations amongst themselves.
That's what we're trying to do.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Is there a possibility of using Walker Stadium at Lentz Park as a backup?
There'd have to be significant dollars spent at Walker because it's set up for baseball, and Little League softball is on a 60-foot diamond versus a 90-foot, and it's not workable, but there are other facilities that we could possibly build temporary structures around within the community. Our ideal position would be at Alpenrose again, because the facility would be functional.
When do you need to have that locked down?
We thought we might have some answers right before Christmas. Little League postponed it, so hopefully by the end of this month.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Hersey. Thank you.
The Grand Prix of Portland, the venue, Portland International Raceway, a city facility, 90,000 spectators, NBC Sports, plus over 200 countries internationally from Portland. This one is of major significance economic impact-wise. Its return 1 year ago after a 12-year absence was significant. It comes on an ideal weekend from the hospitality industry standpoint, Labor Day weekend, where is about the only weekend during the summer where we're low on room nights. We had 7,500 minimum room night increase over Labor Day weekend over the years prior. And $8 to $10 million dollars dropping in the local economy. There's 12 owners in IndyCar, all of which are billionaires, and they come in and spend a lot of money locally, especially in the restaurant and hotels. This past year's event was the second highest rated open wheel racing event on television behind the Indy 500. A lot of that has to do about the date, Labor Day. It's a great date for our city, but it's also a great date for the television and exposure. What's been very interesting is starting to work more with Travel Portland and Travel Oregon as they really see the value of this, both domestically and internationally, and how we can work with Green Savory Racing to increase the impacts and solidify them in Portland. I know they're just about ready to sign a three-year extension to stay in the city, so we're very excited about that. We have made three trips to Indianapolis to meet with them. We were just with them each of the last 2 days, and also kind of trying to reconnect IndyCar with the Rose Festival Association. So things are going well.
Is there more that we can do to be helpful?
Right now, I think, you know, the city has been seen as a really willing partner, and I think at this time there's no glaring thing that jumps out. I think what we want to do is continue to look at the investments. I know the race promoter invested significantly at PIR, but I think the paving that went on in some of the parking lot areas and so forth last year was part of normal maintenance, went a long way. So we'll continue to keep those things on our radar.
All right, let us know if there's more that we can do or more that I can do. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Appreciate
Thank you. It. Event bids that we submitted in that period. We are in the process of bidding for the women's basketball Final Four in either 25 or 26. We were just in Indianapolis making a presentation in December. We'll be seeing the NC2A again this Monday in New Orleans and meeting with the committee on this. We will know at the end of January if we are a finalist city. And then over the course of the spring and summer, they will be visiting our city and evaluating the opportunity here. We'll go back to Indianapolis if we're selected as a finalist in September and make our final presentation. Our partners in this are the Portland Trailblazers, Travel Portland, and Oregon State University. How we demonstrated what success looks like last year and what we're gonna demonstrate again in March with the Western Regional again has gone a long way. They really recognize that this is the perfect city to host this event. The impacts are far more significant with a Final Four than they are with a regional final, in that there is, we literally would fill up virtually every hotel room in the city. The Final Four, the travel parties are significantly larger from the four finalist schools. There's 750 media that cover it. There's 500 ESPN personnel that come in for the broadcast compound. It's a very significant event. Most importantly, there's a 3,000 person coaches convention. So that is in town for 5 days during this event. So we would have a significant number of visitors. We would rent every square inch of the Oregon Convention Center, fill up every room in the core hotels in downtown. And I think from a diversity, equity, inclusion standpoint, we're a very attractive market for this event, to the NC2A and to the basketball community in general. And it has not been on the West Coast since 1998. It's time to come west, and we hope we're the one. So we'll keep you posted. I know the media has been covering us on that.
We should just pause for a shout out to the Convention Center Hotel,
yes,
which is really making it possible for us to bid on something like that?
Not just this, but a handful of other things that are on our radar for the future that we never could go after before. So, and also just the fact that that hotel opening might also create several other hotels in that area that will further enable us to be a more significant player nationally. So very excited. It's a game changer in a lot of ways, not just in our industry. We're also in a bid cycle for more regionals, both for women and men, at the Motor Center. So we've been in a bid process now. Final submissions are in February for that, for the cycle 2023 through 2026. Also working with Travel Portland, Blazers, and Oregon State on that bid cycle. Separately, another bid cycle for the Women's Volleyball Final Four, very similar to the Women's Basketball Final Four. Ideal market, it fills the arena. 4,000-person coaches convention plus a 1,200-person youth national tournament that would be here that week. That would be in December, which is a sorely needed economic boost in the hospitality industry. That's where we have our biggest capacity. I'm not going to say that I'm tremendously confident that we can win the volleyball in this cycle because we've never bid for it before, but we need to put a stake in the ground that we want it. So it starts now, and hopefully it sets, if we don't get it, we can, it establishes this as a legitimate site for the future. We're also in negotiations because of the success, you may recall, the U.S. Figure Skating Synchronized Championships that were here, where we rented Veterans Memorial Coliseum for 5 days and had 3,000 competitors, all from out of state, come into that in February of 2018. These usually bid out 4 years. It was stated by U.S. Figure Skating was the most successful event they had ever hosted in that category for synchronized skating. They have upticked us and want to come back because of that success. So right now, working to see if we can make that happen. Triple Crown Softball U.S. Nationals. This was a quick bid cycle. Came up last year. We worked very closely with the Parks Bureau on this. 3,000 room nights. We don't have an estimated economic impact. It's to be determined, but 3,400 room nights. Multiple fields, Delta Park. If it's successful, there could be a long-term commitment to this, which they also would commit some dollars to parks for lighting enhancements to Delta Park that would be contributed by the event operator, which would be interesting. Future events, and there's some overlap because of some of these bids fell in the same cycle. As I mentioned earlier, I won't spend much time on this, but we're hosting again Western Regionals this March at MOTA and expect to leverage this success and have even greater. To give you an interesting point here, last year at this time, we had sold 1,800 pre-sold tickets for the event. At this time this year, for the same event, we sold 6,000 already. So people are excited. Roadrunners Club of America Convention, building on our running heritage as a state and a city, is coming this spring, filling up the Hilton Hotel, 400 attendees. Also, the National Veterans Wheelchair Games. We worked really hard with the Veterans Administration to win this bid, and with Travel Portland, there'll be 700 competitors traveling from around the country here. It'll be at the Oregon Convention Center this summer. We think this is going to be a very exciting event. Triple Crown, as we mentioned, that was a quick bid cycle. That's why it's listed twice, so that event actually happens this summer. Grand Prix of Portland is back and expect to grow. Ticket sales are ahead of previous years. And as I said, we're meeting regularly with them. We see this as being a critical event to have success here.
Commissioner Hursty.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is just, is this estimated economic impact annually or is this
annually.
Combined?
Annually.
Thank you.
Well, also been working very diligently for the last 12 months with a lot of city bureaus to partake in Oregon 21, which is the World Athletics Track and Field Championships that are going to be held in Eugene. First time the event's ever been held in the United States. It is the largest sporting event in the world in 2021. Televised in over 300 countries, NBC here locally or domestically. We've all seen the publicity and news reports about the state's support in obtaining this event. It'll be in the new Hayward Field in Eugene. But we really want to have Portland as the gateway for all of the competitors, visitors, spectators that'll come. This is truly a global event. It's the largest global sporting event that the state has ever hosted. Portland will have a lot of spillover benefit from this, but we're trying to create direct benefit by hosting the World Championship marathons, both the women's marathon on one weekend and the men's marathon on the other, and then also working for some local citizen components, both a global citizen and a local citizen components on this. The World Athletics is going to be in town this Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to review our course with us, along with PBOT and Portland Police, who have been working very diligently with us, along with the mayor's office and the other bureaus, parks included. This is significant in that it really showcases Portland on international television. The ratings for a marathon, which is kind of hard for us to fathom, but in Asia and Japan are equal to what Super Bowl ratings are in the United States. And that's of significant interest to travel Portland and travel Oregon. And those are key markets for us, you know, from a visitor standpoint and from a business trade standpoint. So we'll have more to report on in the next 45 days on how that all ends up. We also are working on we landed the 2022 NIRSA National Intramural Recreational Sports Convention, 3,000 out-of-state visitors coming in for that in 2022. Part of our mission is to work on franchise pursuits, not just in Portland, but across the state and facility development. There's a couple areas, obviously the Portland Diamond Project, very involved with them. Work with them on a weekly basis in furthering their pursuit. And I think they've been doing a good job on taking care of what they can take care of. And it's really kind of up to baseball whether they want to come here. So they built a compelling case to baseball of why Portland. Veterans Memorial Coliseum, we're currently, our staff is on the committees evaluating the project and so forth for the future of Veterans Memorial Coliseum. So we sit on that advisory committee and are active participants in that and contributors. Also, the Lincoln High School Stadium, this has been put to bed, but we're kind of the linchpin in the city of Portland, Portland Public Schools, Portland State University, and doing a pretty deep dive into the feasibility with the new Lincoln High School of creating a home for Portland State University football and women's soccer. It looks like the feasibility of building a 5,000-seat stadium just isn't in the cards for Portland State. It's about $55 to $65 million that they would have to cover the delta, and they wouldn't own the facility, so they're looking at other alternatives. But I think this is a very worthwhile process. If it would have happened, it would have been an incredible asset to the community in downtown Portland. Community impact, we just completed our fifth year of the Sport Oregon Tracktown Youth League. We put on 16 all-comer meets around the state. We have two in Portland at Roosevelt and David Douglas High Schools. Competitors from these local meets all matriculate up to a state championship meet, which is held in Eugene at Hayward Field. We've had 7,500 participants in this in 5 years. This last year we had 2,200. This has really become a very popular deal. We chose track and field because of its accessibility. We actually, it's a low barrier entry sport, and it's easy. All you need is a pair of shoes and to run. We actually scholarship shoes. If kids don't have shoes to run, if kids qualify and their families don't have the means to get to the state championship, we actually pay for their mileage and so forth to do that. It's a tremendous program and been very well received, and now it's being replicated in other parts of the country, so we'll take that as a compliment. Street Soccer USA, this is a unique program that we helped establish in Portland 3 years ago. It provides accessibility to soccer for homeless youth or those in danger of homelessness. There is a potential. We'd love to host a regional national homeless street soccer event in the future because of the success of this chapter. This was started in New York City. We saw it and brought it to the attention of the soccer community here and helped launch this nonprofit, get them going. It expanded programs in East Portland and then also in some Southwest Portland community centers this year. Play It Forward is a grant program we have with Nike and Providence. This past year, we gave 9 grants totaling $45,000 to these well-deserving recipients. All of these, we don't believe in empowering the biggest. We want to help those that are on mission with what we do, so we only make grants to nonprofits that around programs that they're developing that have annual budgets as an entire nonprofit of under $700,000 a year. So you won't see us giving grants to Boys and Girls Club or a place like that. Well-deserving, but they have great support groups. We try to kind of create lift for emerging groups that are filling gaps that aren't being served. You will see Special Olympics on there, and that is, we felt, with their trying to rise from the ashes. It's a very critical program we see in our state and one we felt we needed to support. Thank you. Any questions?
Very good. Colleagues? Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Just one. You have a 5-year contract. What year are you in that contract?
I'm in just starting my 3rd year as CEO, but I believe, Carl, we're entering our 3rd year.
So this current fiscal year is the 4th year you just reported?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Hardesty. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fritz.
It was very fitting that you gave this report on the day that we're honoring Commissioner Fish amongst many days that will happen in the future. He certainly embraced sports being a really essential part of life. Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Fidelli?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Full disclosure, it's not really conflict, but I think it's important to disclose. I formerly sat on your board,
yes.
But I'm obviously very appreciative and supportive of the work you do, and I appreciate the great success that you've achieved over the last year, and it looks like 2020 is going to be an incredible year.
We're going to have some big things.
We appreciate the work you're doing. I vote aye. Report's accepted.
All right.
Thank you.
One last thing I'd like to add that I we did make a grant to the Barbara Walker Crossing over Burnside. Our board was very inspired by that, so congratulations on getting that one across the line. It'll be a great asset to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Next